Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
I've just got back from holiday and we drove to Spain. I know. Not just Spain, but past Barcelona into a place called Salou. Constant driving would be 21 hours straight. But we broke it up over a few days with me, my wife Laura, and three of our young kids in the back, screaming and watching films and then fighting and then moaning. Are we nearly there yet? And we haven't even left Gloucester. You might ask, why on earth did you drive to Spain when you could fly? And I'll tell you the reason. We couldn't afford to fly in summer. But I'm clever. What I did was looked at the best family hotel in Spain that I could drive to. So I knew we could drive to around Barcelona before the girls were like, oh, this is too far, Daddy. So I looked at the best family hotel and booked direct with the hotel to get a good deal, which meant that we could allow our girls to experience the all-inclusive life for a week, which was absolutely brilliant because they've never experienced it before. And what it allowed us to do is to not have to say no. So often we say, no, you can't have that. No, you can't have that. No, you can't have that. But here, everything was yes. Can I have a slushy, Daddy? Yes, you can. Can I have a milkshake? Yes, you can. Can I have chips? Ice cream? Yes, 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 yes. It was amazing. But what was really cool about the experience is that halfway through, Kez, my eldest, who's 8, realized, oh, Daddy's a good daddy because he's saying yes. He's allowing us to enjoy things all of the time. And my middle child, Elise, started saying, but why are we allowed everything here? Why can Daddy say yes here but not at home? And then she clicked. It's because it's already been paid for. Daddy's already paid for it. And as I was praying for this message today, which I've called the greatest trade up, God wants to speak to you. Because he's a good daddy and he's paid the price already. He's paid the price, which means today, whatever your request to God is, he says, yes, yes, because I've paid the price. Can I pray? Father, we thank you that you're a good father. You're a good dad and you love us so much. So today we pray as we're in your presence, you would say some yeses over us because you've paid the price. Father, speak to every single one of us. Speak into our world, speak into our battles, speak into the things that you need to speak into, because we give you permission today in church. Amen. Amen. I don't know whether you ever collected anything. When I was a kid, I used to collect these things called Pogs. Anyone remember Pogs? They were like these little discs that you bought and collected in packs, and then you played with your friends. So you would stack them up into piles and then chuck one Pog on top, and whichever flipped over, you then won. So the key was getting the metal Pogs. If you had a metal Pog, you could throw it down on the plastic pile and they would all jump off the pile and flip over, and meant you won the Pogs. So my collection grew and grew and grew. But then something happened. I think it was Walkers, brought out the cheap version called Tazos, which you could find in packs of crisps. And then people started bringing Tazos into Pog battles, which really upset me as a kid, because they were the cheap versions. I had paid mega bucks for my Pogs, and people were coming with their Tazos and trying to win my Pogs. Something that I used to collect. Another thing I used to collect, which is really cool, was Merlin Premier League stickers. So you used to get sticker books, and throughout the seasons, I would collect Premier League stickers, and the shinies were the best. The shiny stickers. And in 1998, I completed my only Merlin Premier League sticker book. Hundreds of stickers. But I managed to do it because my school opened up a swap shop. So what we would do is all the lads would go into the classroom at lunchtime and bring in the cards that they wanted to trade up so they could complete their book, which allowed me to complete the book because I was trading up to get what I wanted. I wonder if you've ever collected anything. I did some research of the current most collectible things. And here's the list. There's some interesting things on here. Coins, stamps, comic books, Lego, Pokemon cards. They still around, obviously they are. Vinyl records, they get a bit expensive now. Paintings, vintage cars. Any vintage car collectors here? No, they're all like collecting stuff still. Jewelry, and this last one's really interesting. Barbies, they're not collectible, they're plastic toys, man. Barbies, these. Then they all flick up. Yeah, that's it. I like that. We've got a new game with Barbies. Bring your Barbies to church next week, people. But what I find interesting about collectible things and trading up is that this book, this Bible, is full of stories of trade-ups, full of stories of people bringing stuff to God and him trading up for something better. You see, God is in the habit of trading up. God is in the habit of giving us better stuff in return for what we bring him, for blessing us, for rewarding us, because he loves us. And I've got an awesome story today from this book in 2 Kings of one of the best trade-ups. It's such a cool story, and it's a brilliant trade-up. So let's jump straight in. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. It should be on the screen as well, so you can read along. One day, the wife of a man from the Guild of Prophets called out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You well know what a good man he was. He was devoted to God. And now the man whom he was in debt is on his way to collect by taking my 2 children as slaves." Elisha said, "I wonder how I can be of help. Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Nothing," she said. "Well, I do have a little oil." "Here's what you need to do," said Elisha. "Go up and down the street and borrow jugs, bowls from all of your neighbors, not just a few, all you can get. Then come home and lock the door behind you, you and your sons. Pour oil into each container. When each is full, set it aside." She did what he said. She locked the door behind her and her sons. As they brought the containers to her, she filled them. When all the jugs and bowls were full, she said to one of her sons, "Another jug, please." He said, "That's it. There are no more jugs." And then the oil stopped. And as I was reading this, I found there were 3 lessons from this amazing widow. 3 lessons that we can learn for our life today, all around a pretty cool trade-up. The first one, first lesson for us, is to identify what is in your house. Identify it. I find it interesting where the story started, where Elisha the prophet says, "Hey, what's in your house?" And her immediate, her gut response was nothing. Nothing. "But I do have a little oil. She had to identify what she had. So my question to you and to me today is, what do you have in your house? Whether that's practically, whether it is what is in my house that I can be hospitable with or I can give away. But maybe there's a deeper level to this. Maybe what do you have in your emotional tank that you can invest into someone else? What do you have in your wisdom tank that you can invest? What do you have in your spiritual tank? What's in your house? Not just in the practical, but in all of those realms. What's in your house? Is your response nothing? Or is your response, I have a little oil. I have a little bit of wisdom. I have a little faith that I can invest into someone else. What is in your house?" With my house, it's quite messy because we've got 3 kids. But there's certain areas of my house which are absolutely pristine because they're my territory. So I have 2 sheds, and you can ask me for something in one of my sheds, and I will get at you exactly, because I know where it is, the smallest screw, the smallest nail, up to the biggest tool. I'll find it in seconds, because no one goes in my sheds. And there's the same thing in my kitchen, because I have 1 drawer in my kitchen that is Daddy's drawer. Daddy's drawer. And every man has a drawer like this. Inside, you'll find light bulbs, batteries, torches, screwdrivers, anything is in Daddy's drawer. And it's all lined up. Just so, it's all perfectly lined up. But my girls realised there's some good stuff in Daddy's drawer, because Daddy hides a remote control car in there. It's a cool one that flips over. So they've started going in Daddy's drawer to get out that car. They know there's batteries in Daddy's drawer for their toys. So it's now no longer Daddy's drawer. It's now everyone's drawer, which means it's got messy. You see, my kids are in the habit of dumping stuff in my drawer. Not just toys, but weird stuff. Weird stuff. Sometimes I open my drawer and there's mud in my drawer. There's grass in my drawer. The weirdest one is there was a plastic tub of snails and slugs that the girls had collected in my drawer. I was offended. My drawer. And what happened? My drawer was getting cluttered. My drawer was getting dirty because people were dumping stuff in it. I needed to clean it out. I needed to know what was in my house. I needed to know. And so often in our lives, people dump stuff on us. And we get cluttered. And then we miss the oil. Because we feel like we're dirty. We feel like we're dumped on. What's in your house? What's in your house? Because this widow nearly missed it. Imagine if she stopped at nothing. I've got nothing. The miracle would have never happened. How many miracles are we missing out on, church? Because we're saying we've got nothing. What is in your house? The next lesson that I learned from this widow, this is a pretty cool lesson. And this is the lesson that the little that she offered could be maximized for a miracle. That's the same with us. The little that she brought, a tiny bit of oil, was maximized for a miracle to pay off her debts and to live forever in freedom because she brought this little bit of oil. I want to tell you about a story from my life. About 10 years ago, God clearly spoke to me and Laura and said, Tom, give up your job. Whoa, this is not cool, God. I'm happy to do certain things, but I'm not happy to give up my job, which was a dream job, by the way, flying all over the world, doing some really cool stuff. And God was like, no. You're more focused on your job than me. You need to give it up. Wow. So we journeyed and processed this, gave up my job, and started a business. So, this is a good idea. It means I can be more flexible with my time so I can serve in the house of God, serve in church, and make some money to keep my family. What a great idea. So we birthed a company. And the company did really well. And for the next 7 years, I had a good balance of serving in church and earning money for the family. Really good. But there came a point where God then said, I want you to give up your business. Excuse me? Excuse me? By this time, we had 2 kids. So this was now a mega, mega risk. Because giving up a company that had earned mega bucks to suddenly have nothing. Wow. So we eventually argued with God and eventually agreed, okay, you're going to win, God. We'll give up our company. So we arranged a really good deal to sell to a local school. And just before the contracts were signed, God spoke to me again. He said, I never asked you to sell the company. I asked you to give it away. God, are you mad? Do you not understand that I've got 2 kids, I've got a wife? What on earth am I going to do? He said, do you trust me? So we ended up going into this meeting and giving the school our business. The school were laughing. They've got a free business that was well established. But this led us on a journey of faith. Because we literally then had nothing. Laura was working 2 days a week. I was working none. But for the next year, we didn't go into debt. We didn't earn anything. All the bills were paid. Because God did something. People gave us money. People gave us gifts. It was fantastic. Just like this story. As we gave our little to God, our little faith. God, if you're asking us to do that, it's mad. No one understood. Everyone said we were mad. But as we did it, God blessed us. And it was almost like us bringing a little jar. And God would fill it up and ask for another jar. And he would fill it up. For that whole year, provision was miraculous. Because why? We understood the little we offer, the little bit of faith that we offer to God can be maximized for a miracle. What's in your house? What is it? Do you understand that the little you have can be maximized for a miracle? The last lesson is a really cool lesson. And it's one lesson that sometimes we don't quite often get to. And this lesson is this, is that our desire to trade determines the outcome of what we receive. Think about that. Our desire to trade determines the outcome of what we will receive. What's interesting in this story is that the oil stopped when the containers or the jugs or the bowls were full. And it got me thinking about what happens if they have one more jug? They'd have had more oil. What happens if they had one more bucket? They'd have had more oil. What happens if they'd have had a bathtub? They'd have had more. How far did these sons go? Did they just go to two or three neighbors? Did they go to the whole village? Did they go to the town? Did they go to the next town? Did they go to the next city? Could they have gone to the next country and passed the message on? Look, get bowls here, get jugs here, get tubs here. We've got infinite oil. The capacity was limited by them. Because when the jugs stopped, the oil stopped. So your desire to trade with God is the capacity factor. Because God is always pouring, God is always giving. And if you want that miracle, maybe today God's asking you to trade up something that you don't want to give. But if you do give it, maybe, just maybe, your jug will be filled more than you gave. Because that's how God works. He's a God of the trade-ups. He's a God of the trade-ups. My two eldest kids, Kez and Elise, they're age 8 and 6. They quite often come to me and they love Coca-Cola. They love Coca-Cola. The good thing is they're happy with the cheap cola. So we go down the cheap route of cheap cola. But what they do is come to me and my wife Laura with cups. So they come with cups. Say, Daddy, 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 can you fill up with cola? Yeah, of course. So we'll fill them up. And what they learned is that we will fill up right to the top, irregardless of the size of cup. So Kez will just go and grab anything. Oh, this will do. She'll give us a cup and it'll be a little kid's beaker and she'll be happy with her Coke. Elise is very, very different. She is a middle child, church, and she pulls that lever all of the time. She will not go and get a cup. She will go and get a chair to get into the cupboard with the adult cups and come back with the biggest possible cup she can find. Sometimes a pint glass, sometimes like, you know those kids' cups that are huge like that with a massive straw in the middle? Sometimes she'll go for that because she knows it's going to keep pouring. It's going to keep pouring. And then Kez will moan, why have I got less? Your vessel was smaller. And sometimes I find myself looking at other people and getting a bit of jealousy or a bit of envy or a bit of, oh, that's not fair, God. What's God's response to me? Their vessel was bigger. They offered me more. God pours out. Pours out. Pours out. The limiting factor is us, church, not God, because he's going to pour out on us today. In Ephesians 2, it says this awesome verse. It says, but God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. That is the greatest trade-up. Well, we bring our death, we bring our stench, we bring our sins, we bring everything that's horrible. And God trades that for life. Because he's already paid the price. He's already paid the price, church. The greatest trade-up ever. I've got two stories to land with. And they're pretty cool stories. One is about me and one is about a guy I read about. And I'm pretty sure you're going to love them both. So let's put the image up on screen. There'll be four pictures on screen. Here we go. So this is me. Let me talk you through this journey. This is me in 2016 on the far side. We just found out that Laura was pregnant with Elise. So we were going through like celebration mode. Literally a few days later, this is me. I'll come back to that in a minute. The third picture is me being released from hospital after about 6 months. And the last picture is me coming home to see Kez because I didn't see her for 6 months because I was in hospital. Came out of nowhere, a rock chucked into our world. And this picture of me in the second picture was me just coming out of open heart surgery. Because the doctors had found a tumor growing in the middle of my chest. And what's crazy is that we're in celebration mode. We're in a mode of, oh, thank you, God, we're going to have another child. A gift from God, as Chris said earlier. But at the same time, we're now going through a journey of, I've got this tumor in my chest. And this sort of journey allows you to go one or two ways. It allows you to go negative. It allows you to go anger. It allows you to go the route of pain. It allows you to go down the route of, oh, my life, what's going to happen to me? And in the natural, in the physical, that's where my mind wanted to go. But there's this thing around trade-ups in here. There's this thing around what God says when trials come. Where, like, my negativity, God can trade that up for joy. And I find myself on this journey, trapped in a hospital bed, age 30, having fun and joking around with the nurses and the doctors and the consultants and bringing joy to the wards. I found myself enjoying it. It was weird. Because I knew God had traded it up. I was in immense pain. But God gave me peace because he traded up my pain for peace. Yeah, I was scared. Man, that's scary. I had no idea whether I was going to live or die. But God gave me a sound mind. God gave me focus. Because that's what God does. I could have got angry and bitter and resentful. Why me? And I'm not going to lie, I did think like that sometimes. But God offers you the trade-up. Says, no, don't live like that, Tom. I've called you to trade that down, to live at a higher level. And church, you may be going through a battle today. Hopefully not as extreme as that. But in your battle, you have the option to stay here on our level or trade up to a new level, to trade up. And I promise you, you trade up, you get something better back. What if the band could join me for my last story? Because this is a really cool story. A picture on screen is going to come up of a guy. I wonder if anyone recognizes this guy. Anyone recognize this guy? I don't think you would, because I didn't until I read the story. Here's a guy called Kyle MacDonald, a student at the time in America. And he became famous for this. A red paperclip. Just like this. He decided one day to see what was the value of this paperclip and decided to go on a journey of trade-ups to see how far he could go. And his story is remarkable. Let me read you what he traded this for. He traded the paperclip for a fish-shaped pen. He traded the pen for a hand-sculpted doorknob. He traded the doorknob for a stove. He traded the stove for a generator for an instant party setup where someone came in and ran a party. But he traded that for a snowmobile. That's quite a big jump, a party for a snowmobile. Then he traded his snowmobile up to a two-person trip, all expenses paid, to British Columbia. And then he traded that for a truck. He traded that for a recording contract. He traded that for a year's rent. He traded that for an afternoon with a rock star. He traded that for a limited edition, the only one in the world, of a snow globe signed by that rock star. He then traded that up for a role in a movie. And then he traded that role for a house. 14 trades from that to a house. Didn't cost him a penny. Just trade-ups. Just trade-ups. And this quote from Carl's on screen is an amazing quote, a brilliant quote. He says, it wasn't about the paperclip. It's not about having it or selling it for what it's worth. If I hadn't traded away this red paperclip, I'd just be a guy sitting there at a desk holding this paperclip, wondering what would happen if I did something with the paperclip. And I wonder today if there's people in this room that effectively have a paperclip, but you don't want to trade it up because you're holding it. So you'll forever be with this red paperclip. I feel today as we finish church that God wants to take a red paperclip from you to trade you up to something. Maybe this red paperclip signifies pride. Trade it. Say, God, get rid of my pride. And I'll give you a dose of humility back. And then you can take a step forward. Maybe this signifies fear. as you bring your paperclip to God, he takes your fear and he trades you up for something. He trades you up. Maybe you feel weak. It's your paperclip's weakness. Can't do anything. I've got nothing in my house. As you bring this to God, he trades that and gives you power. He gives you strength. Maybe it's loneliness. If you're lonely, church is great. There's family around. But you leave and you're on your own. Bring this to God. He brings something to you. He brings something to you. It's what God does. So I wonder if you can reflect on that for a minute as the band just play. We sang an amazing song at the beginning. I think they play it now. I Speak Jesus. And there's bits in the line where we're speaking power. How do we get power? We bring this to God and we trade this and he gives us power. But he's asking something first. We trade our fears. The song talks around fears and anxieties. We bring them to God. What's in your house? How many vessels do you have today? Because this represents the vessel, really. How many vessels do you have? Maybe that miracle that you've been praying for years is about to happen. It requires that final trade up. And you're stuck. You're stuck. Today, you bring it to Jesus and he trades up with you. Trades up. Maybe you feel empty and dry. Maybe today God's going to fill that vessel anew as you bring it to him. So I wonder whether we can finish with the song. And as we sing, there's a pot here that's just going to get passed around. It's full of paper clips. Because I love having stuff that you can remember church. I love it. So this is going to get passed around. And as we sing, I invite you just to take a paperclip out. It's not necessarily special or powerful. It's literally a paperclip that could turn into a house. You never know. But let this be a reminder of today. Let it be a reminder of dedication. Let it be a reminder for your friends and family that they came to church and yeah, this is the trade up I'm offering today. Maybe you come here every week. Let today be the day that you're going to trade something new with God. And keep holding this paperclip in your pocket, in your wallet, by your bed, I don't know. And every day, God, I'm going to give you a new trade today. Every day you wake up, God, I'm going to give you something more. And see what God does back to you. Can we stand, church, and sing? And as we do that, this is going to get passed around. I'm going to start with Pastor Chris.